person, there's just not much evidence for that. And why not? The only way we know that is from Joseph Smith's first vision and from subsequent visions. Why isn't there more information about that in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, maybe in the writings of early church fathers? And as I've studied that issue, I've come to some kind of startling conclusions, at least from my own perspective. They're startling. The first one is that as you get right down to it, there is more real evidence, and by that I mean evidence that's more than just speculation, that God is a divine person, a resurrected being, rather than a spirit. There's far more evidence on that side of the aisle than there is on the aisle, on the side of the aisle that says that God is just a spirit. You might wonder where I came to that conclusion. Well, let's talk about that, because this is a fascinating subject. Of course, anyone who is familiar with Joseph Smith's first vision knows that Joseph Smith described his experience as going into the woods on a clear spring day and about praying and then seeing first one glorious being, a person, appear before him, and then a second. And in the official 1838 version that has been canonized as part of LDS scripture, it does not say this, but in several of his other accounts, he describes these two persons, these glorious divine persons, as not just God and Jesus, but as nearly exactly resembling each other in their features and appearance. What he's saying is that God the Father looks incredibly much like his son Jesus. And Jesus, by the same token, looks incredibly much, a great deal, like his father. And that startles a lot of people who hear that. Not only is God a person, according to Joseph Smith, but he looks just about exactly like Jesus. Is that crazy enough? I mean, where else would you find that? Well, the answer is right in the Bible. Right in the Bible, except that it is virtually completely overlooked because it's so difficult to read in the King James Version. But let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 1, the first four verses. If you cut through all the long verbiage there, right to the heart of it, what you find is this statement, quote, God, and then you remove a few words, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And then we'll skip a few more words. Who being the, we'll skip a few more words, express image of his, meaning God's, person. Now what is that, close quote. Now what does that say? That says that God spoke unto us by his Son, who is the express image of God's person. That sounds exactly like what Joseph Smith said. They nearly exactly resembled each other in their features and their persons. Here's the NIV, the same thing, the New International Version. Quote, God, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, The Son is the exact representation of His, God's, being. Close quote. Now, exact representation or express image, what does that mean? Exact means strict, particular, and in complete accordance with somebody or with something. Express means exact or precise. So, according to the first four verses in Hebrews, Jesus is strictly and precisely and exactly like God the Father. Now, that would absolutely not be true if God the Father were only a spirit. They would be very, very, very different if that were true. Now, the word that is translated into English as express image or exact representation was, of course, written in New Testament times when we didn't have a way to exactly duplicate something the way we do now. And so the best, well, I shouldn't say the best, the way that it was used back then was in describing how precise a seal is from the to the impression that it leaves in wax. They're identical. And how precise a statue is of a person when done correctly. That's what is being described here. They are almost identical. And Paul knew that as well in his writing of Hebrews. Now, here's another way that we know that God is a divine person, according to the New Testament itself. Acts chapter 17, verse 29 says that we are God's offspring. We are the offspring of God. It says that in virtually all the major translations. Now, the word offspring comes from the Greek word genos, which is the word that comes down to us as genus or species in our biology. It's virtually saying here in Acts 17:29, we are God's species. We are His offspring. We are of the same species as God. That indicates very much that He is more than just a spirit. So Hebrews says that God is more than a spirit. So does Acts. And then we have the oft-overlooked evidence in Genesis, chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, and also in chapter 9, verse 6, where it talks about God making us in His image, and then later, Adam gives birth to a son who is in his own image and likeness, the same way that we are in God's image and likeness. Those are three specific Bible verses that tell us very clearly that God is a divine person, not just a spirit. When we come back, more about God the Father. We'll be right back after this.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Today, at least for the first portion of our show, we're talking about scriptures and information that back up the notion, back up the idea, back up the concept that was expressed by Joseph Smith and that Latter-day Saints believe today, that God the Father is not just a spirit, that He is an immortal physical person. He is a being. Now, the only real Bible verse that would indicate that God is just a spirit, if you want to use that phrase, would be John chapter 4, verse 24, where it says that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must do so in spirit. It's a slight paraphrase, but that's about what it says. Now, there's this wonderful translation of that same verse by an evangelical preacher and scholar, William Barclay. And he renders that verse this way. He said, God is a spiritual being, so those who worship him, his worshipers, must worship him in a spiritual manner. That's the gist of it. And Barclay went on to observe, and many others have as well, that there are other passages which say that God is love, but we don't believe that God is only love. There are other passages that say that God is light, but we do not believe that he is only light. Why, when this verse implies that God is spiritual or spirit, that that's all he is? Why would we limit God in that fashion to say that he does not have a divine physical body? And then we have a really fascinating series of verses in the Old Testament where God is described as a man seated on a throne. He's described that way in Exodus chapter 24, verses 10 and 11. And again in chapter 3, in verses 18 through 23. Isaiah has this same concept in chapter 6, verse 1, that God is a divine man. Ezekiel sees him that way in the very first chapter in verse 26. And fascinatingly enough, the New Testament does as well in Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. And then we often have this overlooked verse where Stephen, who is a follower of Christ, is accused by Paul and others and stoned to death. And as he is dying, he says that he sees Jesus. He sees the Son of God seated on the right hand of the Father. And people don't often think through the implications of that. If God's a spirit, what is Jesus sitting on the right hand of? I mean, clearly to know that Jesus was seated on the right hand of the Father, he would have to be seeing the Father in some form. Otherwise, that expression is virtually meaningless. Now, as you add all of this up, you come to the conclusion that God the Father really is like us, and that when Jesus says he is the Son of God, that word Son means that he looks like his Father. And when it is said in the Bible that God the Father is our Father, it's meant to be a bit more literal than most people or many people often think. There's a fascinating series of times in the New Testament when Jesus prays to his Father, and the Aramaic word that he uses is Abba. Now, if you were to go to Israel today, right now, magically, somehow, you were there, and you could watch a few homes where the Father comes home from work. You would hear their children, you would hear the children of these fathers call them Abba, Abba, and say, welcome home, Daddy. That word literally means daddy in Hebrew, or at least that's the context. Jesus, when he prayed, according to the New Testament, believed that God the Father was his daddy in heaven, his close personal Father in heaven. That's a little different image from the one that traditional Christianity has. And then there's another wonderful verse that is sometimes underestimated in the New Testament, John chapter 5, verse 19, which has Jesus himself saying, the Son can do nothing unless it is something he has seen the Father doing. For what the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Now, what does that mean? Jesus is saying that everything he does is something that the Father, that his Father in heaven, has done first. Now, I've heard evangelical Christians or those who are critical of the idea that God is more than a spirit say, well, that's present tense. Jesus is saying he does nothing that he isn't right now seeing the Father do. I don't know that somehow turns God into a spirit. Perhaps Jesus is seeing his Father in heaven, or saw him in the past doing the very kinds of things that Jesus was then doing. What kinds of things would those be? Those seem to be interacting with other people, growing up, learning, being part of a family, all the things that Jesus did, he saw his Father do. And this isn't just some kind of vague generalization here. It says the Son can do nothing unless it is something he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also in like manner, not just metaphorically, but in like manner. Jesus does the things the Father first does in the same manner. That's a very powerful statement that as Jesus was born, grew up, lived, and then passed on to a resurrected, glorious person, that God the Father had first done those same things. That is what Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 19. Not often thought of in those terms, but that is it. And then there are some similar kinds of ideas that we have from other early church leaders. For example, what did Jesus inherit? He inherited everything that God the Father had. Well, wouldn't that be the same kind of glorious physical attributes? A glorious divine body? Apparently so. And we are told that we will be transformed into the same kind of image if we are faithful, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. There's an early Catholic catechism that says that Jesus became man, that man may become God. These are all ways of saying God is a divine man.